Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Glass, and I praise the Lord that you were able to join me today as we go into the Word of the Lord. And I'd like to talk about Jesus. You know, it's very interesting. And you can tell a lot about a person by how they respond to Jesus. If I would have a title for this message, I guess I could call it The Reception of Christ. And I was thinking of that passage of scripture in John 1:11, which declares, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not." And I think it's very interesting to just look at the different ways that different people over the centuries have received and treated Jesus Christ. As we read the familiar story of the birth of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew, let me share chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born, King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him.' And when Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him." We see the wise men came when Jesus was born in Bethlehem in the days of Herod the king. They basically came and said, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we've seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." So they were seeking the Lord. They came from a very great distance. And when they discovered him, they worshiped him and they presented gifts to him of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so just as in those days, those who are wise of heart in these days will understand that he was the promised Messiah, he that would come to save his people from their sins. And so we see that the wise men went to great efforts to seek out this Christ. Now, in the same passage, we see Herod's response. And in verse 16 and 18, of course, the wise men were warned not to go back the same way. "Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth, and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, 'In Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not.'" And of course, we know after Herod was dead, Joseph was given a dream and they returned. But Herod treated him as a usurper. He was threatened. He was king, and he didn't want any rivals or disturbers threatening his position of authority and prestige. And we see that the wicked have always resented the Savior's presence. He's still one who would usurp the power of sin. And men love darkness, the scriptures tell us, because their deeds are evil. And Jesus, if we allow him today, will usurp the power of sin in our lives and enthrone himself upon the throne of our hearts. So yes, Herod was correct in treating him as a rival, and a beautiful rival, but he would have none of him. And so those who will accept the Lord find that he will reign king upon the throne of our heart and will give great joy as we walk in his ways. Now we see that Nicodemus in John 3:2 received him as a teacher from God. "The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, 'Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And so that's still the verdict of the centuries, that he was a teacher. No one could ever do, as ever done, what Jesus did. Never man spake as this man. In John, the 7th chapter, we see that there were those that were being encouraged by the Pharisees to lay hands upon Jesus. And in verse 45, the word says, "Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto him, Why have ye not brought him? And the officers answered, Never man spake like this man." Christ claimed to be heaven's anointed teacher, which he was, and promised both safety and stability to the lives of those who put into practice his teachings in their lives. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse 24, for those next few verses, Jesus says, "Whoever would hear these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." And then he goes on further to say, "Those who hear his sayings but don't do them are like a foolish man who built their house upon the sand. And when the storms came, that house did not stand, and great was the destruction of it." Now, we're talking about how did people receive Christ. Some received him as a prophet. In Matthew, the 16th chapter, let me read verse 13. "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And of course he asked them, Who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Some received him as a prophet. Some thought he was John the Baptist, come back to life. Some received him as the very Lamb of God that John the Baptist was declaring, which taketh away the sin of the world. That's John 1:29. And then, of course, we see after Jesus rose from the dead, the yet unbelieving disciple Thomas, who wasn't present when Jesus first appeared, recognized him when the Lord said, Thomas, come here, put your hands in the scars in the wounds of my hand and on my side. And he recognized him as my Lord and my God. That's John 20:28. Jesus is the epitome of all the goodness, the loving kindness, the faithfulness of the Father. And names were very significant in the ancient Semitic world. They were used to describe the nature or characteristic of an individual. And so as we look at the various and many titles and names of the Lord Jesus, we see that all those names brilliantly reflect the many facets of his personality as well as his mission. In Isaiah 9:6, the word says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Amen. That was the message of the angels that glad morning when Jesus was born. They said, "Great joy shall be unto all people, for Christ the Lord is born." One of his names was Emmanuel, or actually, his title. He was not called that. It wasn't meant to be a name, but a title, which was intended to give significance to his birth. And then, of course, remember what the shepherds heard from the angels in Luke, the 2nd chapter, verse 10. They declared, "Fear not, for behold, we bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." This was even at that early time at his birth, it heralded salvation coming to mankind, the very fulfillment of the word given to Abraham, in your seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed, Jew and Gentile alike. They said, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." That Greek word kurios stands for Lord, and it was a title of authority. It distinguished a slave from the master. And of course, Jesus as Lord has the absolute right to command. It indicates a total possession or ownership. It denotes one who served as a guardian. It was also the standard title of the Roman emperors, and that, of course, implied sovereignty, power, as well as authority. In the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible, Kyrios, Lord, was regularly used as the name of Israel's God. So what does the scripture tell us? He came to his own, and his own received him not. Unfortunately, today, there are many that are in that same position. This description, of course, of the Jewish people is sadly just as fitting for many today, Jew and Gentile. We need to pray for God's people, the Jews, that salvation would be unveiled to their hearts and mind, that they would understand Jesus has come. He was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Aren't you glad, beloved, if you've accepted Jesus as Lord? And if you haven't, this is a wonderful time to open your heart to the Lord. Let him come in and let him make something beautiful out of your life. On our own devices, we make a mess of everything. But Jesus will come in and bring you not only eternal life, but abundant life in the here and now. The 12th chapter of John says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Amen. A beautiful passage of scripture. Well, my time has come to an end. I must bring this broadcast to a close. I do invite you to tune in tomorrow. We'll share what the Lord has for us. I invite you to write, share your prayer requests. The announcer will give our contact information. Thank you for joining me. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606. Or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,